8:01 on a Thursday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Newest Canucks defenseman Tucker Poolman's going to join us in 1 minute here. We do have to do a couple quick things. One, we need to tell you that this final hour of the Halford and Brough show is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you have business assets to sell, email sales at ableauctions.ca. Jason, tell them about Kintec.
This hour of Halford and Brough is brought to you by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Yep, they've got them both, shoes and orthotics, plus more. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net.
Joining us now on the line, very happy to have him on the program, newest member of the Vancouver Canucks, defenseman Tucker Poolman joins us on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Tucker. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're good, thanks, and thanks for taking the time to do this. We do appreciate it. So first, congrats on the deal. It sounds as though you're going to be in Vancouver for the foreseeable future, so we wanted to ask you, you know, I think the answer might be the $10 million, but what was it about this offer and this deal and this city and this market that led you to choose Vancouver in free agency?
Yeah, it was, from the end of the season until now, this was my first time being a free agent, so I really didn't know what to expect. It's kind of a nerve wrack. You have really no idea. It's just kind of just silence. It's you and your agent and whatever your agent tells you. And it came down to it, sorting through things. I visited there a few times when I was on the Jets, and playing there, I thought it was an awesome city. And, I like, playing against the players. I think there's some great players. And that was, basically it as far as that. The contract was great. I'm excited about that. And, I'm a Midwest guy, so I see one little hill, and I think it's the coolest thing ever. So Vancouver's something else to me.
Well, Jim spoke yesterday about the negotiations, and then there was no shortage of suitors for Tucker Poolman in unrestricted free agency. And you just kind of pointed out this is your first time going through this. What's that like? Jim said it was up to maybe like a dozen teams that were contacting you. What's that like to have that much interest, that many different offers? Because I imagine it's probably flattering, but it's also probably overwhelming because it's a lot of information and a lot of things to go through.
Yeah, I guess as you kind of how it worked, your agent tells you about these different options and you have to, in your head, kind of entertain each idea and go through it and think about what it's going to be like for you and playing there and fit on the team and what the team's going to look like. So it's kind of a process, just something you don't ever do because, usually you're the restricted guy and you you're going to be back there type thing. And then me and Brock played in college together for 2 years. So I knew Brock enjoyed it there and I've been able to talk to him over the last few years. So that was also nice to know. I'll know someone pretty good on the team off the get-go.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, actually. Obviously, you and Besser played for a couple years together at North Dakota. Did you actually talk to him during this free agency process about, coming to this team, coming to this city? Did he kind of do a bit of a recruitment job on you?
Not so much like the last. No, it was more just over the years, just him talking about it and, seeing him from time to time. And it was more like just a general sense of how it was there, how the organization was and, his experience with it. And that was more the sense I had from him already. It wasn't, more so like the last few days. And, I don't think he really knew. So when he found out, he texted me, he seemed pretty fired up.
The left side of the Canucks defense has some intriguing potential playing partners for you. There's Quinn Hughes, there's Oliver Ekman-Larsson, there's young Jack Rathbone. Have you talked to the Canucks at all about who you might play with and what your role might be?
Talking with my agent, so this is all through my agent, I guess. It was more they thought, I could fit in with anyone and I show up and try to help help win games, do whatever I can to win games. And kind of like in Winnipeg, I bounced kind of everywhere with a bunch of different guys depending what was needed or what coach thought was best. So that was kind of the sense I got from them. And whoever I end up playing with, I'm gonna be excited with whoever the minutes ever. I just want to go out there and help win games.
You played 39 games for the Jets last season. Tell us about the one penalty you took.
I think the guy stepped on my stick or something, but I don't even remember. I can't believe it's only one. I think I had more the year before, but yeah. That's kind of funny, actually.
It's impressive because you're considered a defensive defenseman, so you're spending a lot of time in your own end. I imagine you're killing penalties, not taking tripping or hooking penalties. Is that just part of who you are as a player? Has that always been part of who you are as a player?
Yeah, I guess it's something, you know, since you're a little kid and going through juniors and college, minors, it's just something about, you know, the key defensively is just stay on the right side of the puck. Your stick's always in a good spot. And just being on the right side of it's a big thing where you don't need to grab or hook or clutch. And that's kind of, you know, the defense 101, I guess, which sounds easy to say, but I guess it's hard to not take penalties even at the same time. Just forwards are so good and they're so shifty, fast. You just got to be in the right position.
Now that you've changed, now that you've signed this contract, do the expectations change and does the pressure ramp up a little bit? You come to a new team, you've signed a deal with term, $10 million deal. Does the expectations change?
I've always had high expectations of myself and I want to come in and, you know, I'll be the new guy on the team and, I want to get in and make a good first impression with everyone and contribute right away and personally. But, you know, part of my game is just, you know, killing penalties and, you know, chipping in offensively when I can, you know, just helping team win games. So there's pressure there, but it's nothing I'm not used to. And I set a pretty high bar for myself. So I just want to come in and meet the guys and help any way I can.
We're speaking to new Canucks defenseman Tucker Poolman here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Tucker, for the Canucks fans that maybe didn't get a chance to watch a ton of Jets action over the last couple of years, maybe even specifically last year, can you, one, let them know what your game is all about and what they can expect with you in a Canucks uniform this year? And then, two, all the different roles that you were placed in Winnipeg last year, because I know you had a bunch of different defensive partners. I know you played with Morrissey a bunch, but you played with some other guys as well. So first, what the fans can expect from Tucker Poolman this season, and then two, kind of a look back into all the different roles that you played in Winnipeg.
Okay, sure. I guess I'm more of a steady, you know, I wouldn't say stay-at-home defenseman. I think I can move around and skate well, and I try to defend well and be responsible in my own zone, and when there's plays to be made, jump in the play, I'll get in there and try to hop in there and make some plays. And then as far as your second part of your question, the last 2 years, I guess I've kind of played a bunch of different spots, pairings with the Jets, a few different partners, like you said, and you know, I started killing penalties more and more as the year went on. And so I expect I'd be doing that. And I guess I don't know what to expect going to Vancouver, but I'll be excited whoever I'm playing with. And just excited to get to the city and get to know everyone.
Well, speaking of expectations coming to Vancouver, has anyone debriefed you on Canucks Twitter yet? Are you a social media guy? Are you on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook a lot? Canucks Twitter is a thing.
I've had it for the longest time. You know, I've had it probably for 10 years, but I have them both on, have it on private, which more I just news and I just kind of keep tabs on my friends. I don't really participate as far as, you know, socially or publicly, you know, getting my picture out there and all that stuff. I'm a pretty boring guy as far as the social media side. But I would love a debriefing, sure.
Oh, well, the debriefing's going to take a while. We might have to do that over beers or something. Have you ever searched your name on Twitter?
I don't know. I kind of stick away from it. I just kind of stay in my lane and try to live my life.
Good. Yeah, good. That just sounds like just a solid... keep doing that.
Yeah, it's funny because we've spent a lot of time talking about it over the last few days because it's kind of risen to prominence. And it was actually funny because a couple different reporters, and Elliot Friedman included, said that some free agents were leery about coming to a place like Vancouver because the fan base can be harsh and can be toxic. And then the flip side of that was that some guys want to come to a market where hockey is king and the fan base is passionate. So we've had that debate back and forth. And again, as Jason said, we'll probably leave the debrief for another time.
Tucker just wanted mountains.
Yeah, right. And now you got mountains. So we got that going for us. Anyway, Tucker, we want to thank you for doing this today. We really appreciate you taking the time. We want to wish you best of luck as you begin your career as a Vancouver Canuck, and hopefully we can do this again once the season gets underway.
Yeah, that'd be great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming. We appreciate it. That's Tucker Poolman here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. I feel like that's almost like a requisite question now for any newcomer to Vancouver.
Have you heard about Canucks fans? Yikes.
Are you familiar with Canucks Twitter? But it's a thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a guy, we tried to mention it off the top and get him, it probably wasn't going to divulge which 12 teams were in on him, but he said, when you get all these offers, you have to envision yourself in that city, in that market, and then run through mentally all the different scenarios. Mm-hmm. So he was in a pretty hockey frenzied market in Winnipeg. So I imagine the conversation internally would have been, do I want to sign up for this again? Maybe even more so with the scrutiny and the pressure, because Vancouver, I would say, is a little bit more of a hot kettle on the stove.
Isn't there way more scrutiny to when you sign these unrestricted free agent deals?
Yes. There's a ton more.
Tucker Poolman is no longer the, like, hey, that's a good story, right? You know, Tucker Poolman, he wasn't a highly touted draft pick or anything like that. He's made it into the NHL. Good for him. That was the Winnipeg side of things. And then you come to Vancouver and you're like, hey, look, it's Tucker Million, the $10 million defenseman.
Tucker Poolman, the $10 million defenseman. Yeah. No, I know. That's the thing. Expectations change.
What did I call him? Tucker Miller?
Tucker Million. Which is actually
Tucker Million?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Which is actually a cool name. It's like
Tucker
Roger,
Millions.
It's like Roger Millions, but with Tucker on the front of it. No, you bring up a good point, because we had this conversation with Ekman Larson talking about expectations coming in. And to be perfectly honest, he comes in with entirely different expectations, because some people are so leery about the decline that it's a question mark as to what version of Oliver Ekman Larson we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. The expectations for a lot of people are he's a defenseman that his best years are behind him. So if he plays at a level where we saw at the end of Arizona, that's maybe what we're expecting. I know that there's hope.
If he plays at the level that he played last season in Arizona, the Canucks are in trouble.
No, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Like, I get that. But we're talking about expectations coming in. Mm-hmm. Like Tucker Poolman, who we just finished speaking to here on the home of the Canucks Sportsnet 650, you're right. Prior to signing this deal, he was a nice story who was a late bloomer out of North Dakota. He was a fifth-round pick that made it to the NHL. And on an entry-level deal and a reasonable contract, he's a great third-pairing guy, and you don't think about him that much. Well, that all changed in one day.
Yeah.
Because now there's think pieces across the internet being written about the contract. You know, I mean, you've got national pundits talking about the Tucker Poolman deal, $10 million for this depth defenseman. So it is fascinating in that regard. When they say your entire life changes, it's not just a cliche they throw out. It does change. You're a different player now. You're viewed as a different player now.
It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. What we learned is coming up next. So send in your what we learned, and we will have some time to read them this time. It's Halford and Brough Show, Sportsnet 650.
Not having monthly fees means no monthly fee increases. Switch to a Simply Financial no-fee checking account and earn $200. Conditions apply. Visit simply.com.
Eight twenty-one. The clock just changed. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. It's okay, Josh. Josh just got in my ear. He said, sorry, I forgot to remind you of your reads. What a nice, polite young man. Mm-hmm. He apologized for interrupting. Dom doesn't apologize for anything. He just interrupts and then interrupts again, but louder.
This hour of Halford and Brough is brought to you by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net. I got a follow-up text from Kintec yesterday. They were wondering how my orthotics are fitting me. They're just such kind people.
Was
there.
The text sent from your podorthist?
Yes.
Is that, did I say it right?
Podorthist? So. Podorthist, yeah.
Podorthist.
Leg length discrepancy.
You want to change that read. You need to change that read.
Really
we need
badly.
To re-record that one.
Yeah.
What We Learns are brought to you by the Dilari folk, the Dilari family of Acura dealers, to be more specific. Visit any one of their three locations today, North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. We're going to do What We Learn. We've saved a lot of time. We've had good clock management today. Not like Vic Fangio. Good clock management here. So we're going to first play the music and then tell you what we learned. Josh, play the music.
We're going to need a few things for this class.
Boring.
An eagerness to learn. A thirst for knowledge.
So, what did we learn in the last 24 hours?
When life gives you lemons, just say, F*** the lemons and bail.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
You're going to start... And you're going to go NFL?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I learned that Aaron Rodgers will return to the Green Bay Packers, but not before, before he got to vent a little bit about the organization. I guess he met the media yesterday and said some stuff.
There was a lot of things that transpired. This wasn't, a draft day. Thing, you know, this was started with a conversation in February at the season ended, and I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations directly affecting my job. I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great.
So the crux of it essentially is that Rodgers wants to be involved in the decision-making process. And I've kind of two minds on this. The one is I think management should want to know the opinion of the star quarterback, the most important players on the team. But I also wonder sometimes if the players are the best guys to make those decisions because they're going to be loyal to their friends on the team, and they might not have the big picture in mind.
I think this is a direct response to what Tom Brady did upon going to Tampa Bay and then getting Antonio Brown in the door. And I think that, look, at the end of the day, they won a Super Bowl together. I mean, Brown wasn't a huge factor, but he was there, and that was – a risky, risky proposition given all the baggage that came along with Antonio Brown. I think, you know, Rodgers spoke in more detail about the idea of being a recruiter and using his abilities to bring players there. He actually said, look, we all know that Green Bay isn't a vacation destination, that guys don't come here because they want to live in Wisconsin. Guys come here. And he said it full out, to play with me. And it's true. Players will gravitate towards Aaron Rodgers, because you know what? Aaron Rodgers can help get them paid. If you can put a ball in a receiver's hand as accurately and consistently as Aaron Rodgers does, it's good for your career. I think Green Bay really mishandled the situation because Aaron Rodgers isn't just a quarterback. And he's not just a starting quarterback. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. He's an MVP. And you need, and I'm not saying cater to him, but I almost think that if a player wants to help recruit players and help you avoid the mistakes of the past, and I thought he laid it out pretty eloquently, you have to utilize that to your advantage.
At least let him think that he's being heard.
But you, like, I understand what you're saying. Like, you want inmates running the asylum. Like, there's a reason that there's general managers and executives, because they understand salary caps and negotiations and long-term outlooks that go beyond Aaron Rodgers' playing career. So they have all those things to consider. And I get it. You can't just say, Aaron Rodgers, you're the shot caller now. At the same time,
he's your most important player, and if he's unhappy, that's a problem for your team.
And look what they did in the – did you see what they did yesterday? Like, they went out and reacquired Randall Cobb, one of his former receivers who had bounced around with a couple different teams. And then Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, was asked, did you make this trade to appease Aaron Rodgers? And he was like, yeah, basically.
Look,
so,
sure. I'm the captain now.
Yes, very good drop. Well done. He is the captain now. Again, the danger, and I get what you're saying, the danger is he's going to call the shots and he's going to have more power than everyone that's actually calling the shots. Mm-hmm. And his shelf life is limited. If Aaron Rodgers wants to leave, he can leave. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, we turned the organization over to this guy. Now we're screwed.
I always wonder if, for example, players on the Canucks, if there's a single player on the Canucks that goes to cap friendly and is less. I imagine the players go to cap friendly sometimes to see, like, oh, I wonder what this guy is making compared to me. But not as much as fans do or the media do to be like, all right, how can we improve this puzzle?
Mm-hmm. Like, again, we've seen it in other leagues. The National Basketball Association, quite famous for guys orchestrating behind-the-scenes moves to put players in certain places and build super teams. We don't see it very often in hockey. As a matter of fact, I just asked Tucker Poolman, I'm like, did Brock Besser help with the recruitment process? And he was like, no, I didn't even talk to him. He found out after the fact that I had signed there. And there's just a different element to it. That it exists in certain sports, and in some sports that it doesn't.
Maybe he didn't have time to talk to Brock Besser. He's like, I'm going to text Brock real quick. And Brock was asleep or something. Give us a moo cow on that.
I'm not even going to do mine.
No, yeah. We got to get to the humanoids.
Yeah.
Because Marcus and Gibson, this is a shot across the bow. What we learned, I learned after one read of a humanoid submission, the boys get distracted. Yeah, that can happen.
Yep, but we're going to focus now. We have a bunch of what we learned, including one from Marty the Red, which was what I was going to talk about anyway, but the Canada soccer tonight, semifinal, Gold Cup. First time in 14 years they've been to the semifinal of the Gold Cup. One of the biggest matches that this current incarnation of the Canadian men's national team is going to get will not be televised. The game will not be televised. It is once again on an app called One Soccer, subscription-based, and a lot of people are starting to push back, whereas before there was apathy. Now there seems like there's a little bit of anger as to why is our national team not being televised. I have no good answers for you. I wish that I did. I know that right now One Soccer is airing commercials and advertisements for them holding the rights to the World Cup qualifiers in September. Because you just read to me during the break that one of the games, Canada versus U.S. in September, is going to be in Nashville. Mm-hmm. It's over Labor Day, a long weekend.
It's a Sunday, September 5th.
The Honduras match, which Canada has at home, has just been announced to be played in Toronto.
Apparently. Someone texted that in.
So the momentum is building, and it is a real roadblock for that momentum that they're not on standard television. Anyway, I'll moo cow myself, read another one.
What we learned, Jim Benning loves his Winnipegsmen, who have played at elevated roles due to the lack of the Jets' depth and have not done it well. Poolman's deal is very similar to Tyler Myers, just at a lower level. Everyone said that Myers should be a fourth defenseman, but Jim paid him like a number one or a number two defenseman, and Poolman should be a sixth guy, but his contract is more like a fourth defenseman.
I never thought of it like that in relation to Tyler Myers. That's actually interesting.
There's so many guys that need to prove themselves on the Canucks blue line next season. Obviously, the new guys, Ekman Larson, Tucker Poolman, but I also think Quinn Hughes. He needs to sharpen his game up a little bit. And it's this is to be expected from young players, especially offensive defensemen. There are some offensive defensemen that like they play at a very high level and yet they still make some defensive blunders. Erik Karlsson comes to mind. Erik Karlsson was winning Norris trophies and still making plays in games where you're like, "Whoa, what are you doing there?" That's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
With players like Quinn Hughes, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have room to improve and cut down those.
You need to cut down on the amount of errors.
Yeah, so. He looked like he didn't know where he needed to be at times last season.
What we learned from Rager. Ah, Rager. What he learned is that Connor McDavid needs to take a move out of Aaron Rodgers' playbook and put together a press conference to unload on the organizational plan. We've already seen this in the NHL. Jack Eichel's doing it currently. And him unloading on the organizational plan was the organization's plan for his neck. It's exactly what it was. I'm sure he's tired of all the losing as well. Mm-hmm. But the final straw was there was a major divide between what the Sabres wanted to do medically and what Jack Eichel wanted to do medically. I would not be surprised if 1 or 2 years from now, if things don't go right in Edmonton, that Connor McDavid throws up his hands and says, it's time to part ways here because the pressure's on now.
Well, that's the tough situation for Kenny Holland. Mm-hmm. Because people are all over for this Zach Hyman contract, which could age very badly. But the argument that Edmonton makes is we need to find good players for Connor McDavid so he doesn't get upset and leave. Frankly, the same is true in Vancouver. There is significant pressure. I know we all talk about like the Canucks need to make the playoffs and the ownership wants playoff revenue, all that. That is true. It's also to keep these players happy. These young players, like Bo Horvat's got, what, 1 year left
yep.
before decisions start to be made on his future? Same with JT Miller, not as young as some of the guys. But you also want to keep players like Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson happy and thinking the team is competitive. Because you know what happens if you don't? Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Part of the argument that, I mean, I think a lot of people are hoping maybe in Vancouver that this was the case, was that Oliver Ekman-Larsson just, you know, in Arizona, maybe you start to let your habits slip a little bit.
Sure.
Like professional athletes and anyone that's good at anything, they have strong habits.
Yep.
And when, you know, the expectations aren't as high or you look around and you're kind of like, I don't really like this thing that I'm doing right here. I don't respect the organization. Your habits are going to slip.
For sure. And Jeff Merrick brought that up earlier when we had him on the call, or sorry, on the timeline. He said, it's a human nature when you're in one place. He was in there for 11 years and in a place that's kind of laid back and your feet aren't really being held to the fire all that often. It's probably really easy to let some things slip.
Like his chipping and putting, excellent now,
they
I imagine.
Slip.
Yeah.
I got one here from Gary, hashtag WWO, what we learned. All the mock lineups I see for the Vancouver Canucks have Connor Garland bumping Tanner Pearson down to the third line. What I learned is I seem to be the only one who thinks it'll be Nils Höglander that gets bumped down.
Okay, there's probably going to be lots of lineup changes, and I think one of the things that – I don't mean to sound dismissive of the text, although I did sound dismissive of the text.
You did.
But the lines don't stay together all the time.
Well,
and I think one of the things that Travis Green is going to really like – about his, let's call them top nine, mm-hmm. is there is versatility in there. If he wants to put JT Miller back at center for a bit, if he feels that's the need, then go for it. Try it out.
The nicest thing about the top nine right now, you just said it perfectly. The options available to mix and match mm-hmm. and try different things. I mean, you know, like flip guys onto their off wing for a little bit and see what happens, right? I would love to see Höglander and Podkolzin skate together at some point. Just you can try a lot of different things because that's what happens when you have talent.
We don't know what Podkolzin is going to look like either. He might be ready for the NHL.
Six
he might
tall,
be ready.
Russian features.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might be ready for a top six role. He might not be ready for, I don't know, a third line role. You never know with this guy. We have to watch him play first.
You got another one? I'm raring to go. I've got them all queued up. Do you have one you want me to go?
Yeah, I want to read two because they're kind of related. Joe and Langley with What We Learned. You guys scared Tucker Poolman. He's going to be terrified by Canucks fans now. In a related
Great.
Story, Mike and Aldergrove, What We Learned. After Tucker Poolman hung up the phone, he searched his name on Twitter and immediately called his agent asking for a trade.
You know, I'm pretty sure he knew about Canucks Twitter before we told him. I hope he didn't search his name. That's the problem.
Would you be tempted to search your name if you were a professional athlete?
Yes.
Would you do it, do you think?
Yes.
I
would hate the results.
I can't even imagine. We were talking about the pressure on Olympic athletes as it related to, or just professional athletes as it related to Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka.
Yeah.
And our conversation led us to, like, what would you tell young Canucks rookies about social media? would you tell them to stay off? And a lot of people said, just turn your phone off.
Yeah.
You could do that, and you'd have to be very disciplined to do that. Mm-hmm. But imagine the curiosity level. I'd just be like, I just had a pretty bad game, and it was a big game. I wonder what people are saying.
Yeah, there's that morbid curiosity at some point.
It is.
Yeah, because you know what you're setting yourself up for.
You've also probably got friends mm-hmm. that are texting you and saying, are you seeing what they're saying about you?
Yeah.
But to just say, put down your phone is almost like it reminds me a little bit of that just say no thing to the
sure.
And it's like, yeah, it's so part of our society now, social media, especially with young people, that I think it needs to be a little bit more of a nuanced solution as opposed to just put down your phone. Like, young people aren't going to do that.
You texted along an anecdote from a piece yesterday about John McEnroe back in 1984, how he was very hot-headed and temperamental, and he received a lot of scorn from media, and he was kind of a villain in the tennis world, and people didn't particularly, not everyone liked him.
Mm-hmm.
But in an analog world, you literally could go home and unplug everything and not be contacted. And you could be completely oblivious to what was going on.
But the response I got to a lot of that, and I tweeted out, it was a column in The Guardian that someone wrote. So it was an opinion, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people said, you can still unplug. Just go home and turn your phone off.
But I don't think...
I just feel like it's tougher now.
Yeah. Well, there's a million more... Here's the thing. There's a million more people now covering these events than there used to be. I mean, we talk back. It used to be a couple newspaper guys, and that was it. I mean, we're talking the advent of 24-hour sports talk radio. But now you have to add in the fact that everyone has a bullhorn and a megaphone. That's what social media has provided. Mm-hmm. You get to, if you so choose, you can go down the wormhole, and you have to have a lot of self-restraint to not want to do it sometimes, of knowing every single person's opinion about you. Just think about that. People whose opinions theoretically shouldn't matter. Everyone's opinions matter. They don't. They really don't. And that's what a lot of athletes get subjected to, because you get everybody's thoughts and everybody's peace of mind thrown right in front of you. You need to be more like Tucker Poolman. Keep everything on private.
I can't imagine what I would do with social media if I was a professional athlete, because it's also a revenue generator too, right? Like, you can make a lot of money with your social media presence, and you just say, I'm going to ignore that.
Yeah.
You know who the one guy I think of all the time? Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about him.
It's a remarkable, remarkable career in that regard. We don't. And that's conscious and by design.
Totally. It's to keep him focused.
Yeah. Remember when he went on Spit and Chicklets? That was like a story in and of itself, because it was like, oh my God, Sidney Crosby might actually open up. And might actually say something.
He didn't really, though.
But he didn't.
He just played golf.
Yeah, he just played golf with Nathan MacKinnon. But it was that kind of underscored what a remarkable... It's almost a remarkable accomplishment that he's been able to be that private and that insular while also being a superstar.
Mm-hmm. It's Alvin Abruf Show on Sportsnet 650. One final segment to go. We'll try and read a few more of your texts.
Find great deals only available at BC Liquor Stores. Save $2 on the 1 liter bottle of Conocer, Pinot Noir Rosé, or Red Blend. Now only $10.99. Products vary by store. Please enjoy responsibly.
.844 on a Thursday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Final segment of the second to last show of the week. What a week it's been. Tomorrow, I got a feeling that we're going to see less and less signings as it goes along. So we'll still do hockey. We're going to have Scott Burnside on the show from The Athletic tomorrow. We're also going to go back to Japan for the Olympics. Mark Lee from CBC is going to join us. He, of course, is on the call for all the athletics, the track and field.
Scott,
in Tokyo.
Scott Burnside is going to be a fun guest because he did, I guess he was embedded with the Minnesota Wild through free agency.
Yes.
And so they let him watch what was going on. And so we'll ask him what that was like behind the scenes. You know who is a major character in the story? Judd Brackett, because he was running the draft.
Right,
for
yeah.
The Minnesota Wild.
Burnside spent 4 days inside the war room with Guerin, Brackett, and everyone else. So leading into the draft, and then, of course, into free agency. And Scotty, I don't know how many people remember this, but when the U.S. selected its Olympic team in 2014, men's hockey I'm talking about, Scotty and Kevin Allen, formerly of the USA Today, were granted access into a bunch of meetings with the USA Hockey Brain Trust about the selection process, which included Brian Burke. It was David Poyle, and it was a bunch of other guys.
Who were the guys that ended up getting ripped? Was it Bobby Ryan?
Bobby Ryan.
Right.
I think it was like he doesn't even know how to spell intensity or something along those lines. Now, the funny part was, so just again, I always feel bad. I'm always hearkening about the good old days. But 2014 Winter Classic in Detroit, you and I are there. And it's this big spectacle, 108,000 people at the Big House in Michigan. Toronto, Detroit, originals. Like a great moment, right?
This was when the Leafs announced the FNUF extension, was it not?
So after, right before the game, they announced the FNUF extension, which is a big deal, you know, at the time. The game gets played, and then for the aperitif of this big celebration of hockey, USA Hockey gets up on the podium, and they're going to announce the Olympic roster. And they're going to have these guys come out wearing their USA Hockey sweaters. And these are the guys that are going to try and help us win gold in 2014 after we came so close in 2010. The moment that they start announcing the roster, Burnside and Kevin Allen drop this piece, taking you behind the curtain. And it's just Brian Burke ripping guys to pieces. And everything was unfiltered. And you could see poor David Poyle, who's the nicest guy, looks like a veteran librarian, is up at the podium, and all these reporters are like, I'd like to ask you about Bobby Ryan.
Yes, there's something on my laptop that I've been reading that I would like to ask about.
So the whole thing got sabotaged. It was great. It was great theater.
Halford and I
are
there just like,
yeah. Like, oh my God. What did he say about Dustin Byfuglien? Oh my God. Like, it was crazy. And that, you know, I remember thinking at the time, the other thing that was, it was one of the few perks that we had at NBC as a rights holder was we got exclusive access to stuff like this. So NBC, very big in the Olympics,
yeah,
very big in the NHL. We got the roster the day before, and we were sworn to secrecy that we couldn't say anything to anybody.
Right.
And so I remember looking, I'm like, they didn't take Bobby Ryan. And we're like, so we started writing up the snubs column, right? Who got snubbed from the Olympic team? And we led with that. And we thought that was going to be an exclusive. And then our story got blown out of the water because it was revealed why he was a snub shortly thereafter.
So I'm looking forward to talking to Scotty tomorrow,
yes,
about getting embedded with the Minnesota Wild and whether or not he had to have any ground rules before he did this.
I bet he did.
Yeah, I bet the Wild were just like, so the last time an organization allowed you to do this, there was a few things that maybe they should have done.
And I have been told by multiple people that the stuff that hit the cutting room floor that didn't make it into that ESPN column was like some of the stuff that they were saying about players. They were like, yikes.
What do you think Berkey says?
Yeah, exactly.
When it's not like, you know, all bets are off and it's just Brian Burke completely unfiltered.
Right. It was a remarkable moment in access journalism that we're sadly probably never going to get again. So kudos to Scotty, but also damn you, Burnside, for ruining it for everybody for the rest of time. Do we have a couple more minutes for some what we learned?
Well, there's a lot of people texting in about celebrities and professional athletes on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I think they make a pretty good point here. If they want to be a professional, then play the sport. Then play the sport and stay private on social media, or don't have it. If they want to be a celebrity on social media as well as an athlete, then they have to be willing to take the scrutiny and judgment like any other famous person. I think that, unfortunately, is a reality in today's world.
Yep.
You can't say, I want to have this big social media presence and not expect any blowback. It just isn't realistic. Young people out there, if you want to be on social media, you better have a thick skin, because people are going to say some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're a really great person, people will be like, you're not really that great person.
We get it in real time during the show, because you can text in and we don't have much control over incoming messages. Like, we can block someone in the aftermath, but we will be in the middle of a conversation and we will have right on our screen, right in front of our faces. It could be anything. It could be good feedback. It can also be really negative feedback. Mm-hmm. And it can be like very personal ad hominem attacks. It can be anything really.
And people can say like, oh, just ignore it. Well, you're reading it because I'm reading all the text messages as they come through. And you're kind of like, oh, that would hurt a little bit.
But I'll say this, that we can't complain about it because that's part of the
gig. That's what we signed up
for. That's what we signed up for. Right? I mean, we get plenty of people taking shots at us, and I've just learned to say, okay, you know what? Someone's got an opinion. Everybody's got one.
I think
I'm not going to put a lot of stock into this one.
The best thing to do, and I think it's easier said than done, is to have a sense of humor about it and just be like, eh, well,
yes.
That's, you know, that's funny if you think about it. But I do also, at the same time, I'm mid-40s at the age where I actually forget how old I am sometimes. And I'm like, what am I? Am I 44? No, 45. I think I'm 45.
You're 45.
I have turned into a very old man at times, and I look at the Canucks, and I'm like, I'll say things like, God, Pettersson's got to get off his phone. He's always on his phone. Every time I see this guy, he's on his phone. Yeah. But I think that's just maybe the reality of young people now.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not just Pettersson.
No, the whole team.
Yeah, it's every player of a certain age. That's it.
We've talked to a few people that you know, they hang out with some of the players, and they're more our age. So like, I don't even know why they're hanging out with these players.
But, yeah.
Well, it's fun, right? And half they do complain. They're like, we'll be out at a restaurant, and like, I'll order drinks. They'll be like, and I want to have a conversation, and the guys are just on their phones.
Yep.
The whole time.
Yep. Heads down. You know, and then it's just updating everybody about the minutiae and like a minute by minute recap, right? And it's, I mean, I'm super guilty of it too. If I'm bored and I'm sitting somewhere, I will strike up a text conversation with someone just because I know that they'll respond, and it'll be 5 minutes that I don't have to really pay attention to the current thing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
Ask us anything. Are you boys taking any time off this summer, or can we expect the standard Halbro wackiness all August long? Here's our plan. The 3 weeks before Labor Day, we're off.
So our last day on the air will be Friday, August the 13th, and then we will be returning Tuesday, September 7th.
Right.
Update your wall charts accordingly.
So we're going to be back when everything essentially ramps up. You know, the training camp will be close. We'll be into the NFL season pretty much then. The World Cup qualifying. We're actually going to be off the air for the first two games, the games that we just talked about, at home against Honduras, and then in Nashville against the Americans on September 5th. So 2 days after that, we'll be back on air with all sorts of things, and that is really one of the best times in sports. Everyone's back to school then, everyone's back to work then, everything starts ramping up, and we start preparing ourselves for the winter. Basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
What TV are we going to watch?
Well, I mean, we do get to jump in at a good time because the NFL season will be underway. And then, yeah, it starts, the leaves start to turn. Halford and Brough start to put on their winter coats. By that, I mean get fat.
I stop shaving my back.
Right. That's out the window. I need that sweater. West End Mike with a What We Learned. I've seen a few of these. I flagged this one earlier. I learned that Ron Francis really had no plan to build a competitive team in Seattle. They are looking like a good punching bag for the Pacific Division, though I hope to be proven wrong.
Please tell me you understood my joke that I made on Twitter yesterday when I called them the missionary position of expansion teams.
Yes, you're talking about the sex. Congrats on the sex.
Yeah, they're just like, it's kind of like a standard.
Yep.
We drafted some players in the expansion draft, and then we signed some guys, but there was nothing complicated. There's nothing complicated
The Kraken have been married for 35 years.
They're just going through the motions. Or they're very new. They're very new. Like, I've seen how this is done, and here we go. And we're starting. All right. Nothing fancy here. Gets the job done, though.
And you wipe your hands, and away you go. I know. I got the joke. I am flummoxed by this. Mm-hmm. Because when in the day after the expansion draft, we came in here, and you were pretty critical. And then I kind of told you maybe you should tap the brakes because they could be waiting for something bigger. And then I think you actually kind of agreed with me in a rare turn where you're like,
I agreed with you, like maybe they've got a bigger plan. And then they go and sign Jaden Schwartz and Philip Grubauer.
And Alex Wennberg.
And Alex Wennberg. I'm like, where's the value in these guys?
Who I think Alex Wennberg is their first line center right now.
Our poll question, speaking of the Kraken, this is a big win for the Vancouver Canucks, and we'll go out with this big win for the Vancouver Canucks. Who's had the best offseason? The Canucks, the Oilers, the Flames, and the Kraken. These are the geographic rivals to the Canucks. Congratulations to the Canucks. 80% of you. Low bar and all, maybe, with considering what the Oilers and the Flames and Kraken have done this offseason. But the Canucks are number one among those four teams.
Way to go, Canucks. There's a house of positivity to end the show. We got to get out of here, but we will be back tomorrow. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Bruff. He has been producer Josh. This has been the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.
Not having monthly fees means no monthly fee increases. Switch to a Simply Financial no-fee checking account and earn $200. Conditions apply. Visit simply.com.